This
is the producers.
A podcast.
The biggest names in audio production.
Station sound.
Branding.
Radio imaging.
And voiceover.
Voiceover.
Like me.
And me.
Hey. And me.
Bitches.
Interviews.
Tips.
Tricks.
Advice.
Plus the dirty little secrets you always wanted to know.
Or not. To be a part of the show, visit RyanOnTheRadio.com.
Now.
There's a word I never say in copy.
The producers.
With Ryan Green.
All right. Air Chase episode. I am doing my best to basically get right into it. I have just a couple things I got to say real quick. It's longer than you're used to. I will leave that alone and just leave that there. It's a three-parter. Part two is extremely long. A lot more technical knowledge. I tried to pull as much out of Eric tech-wise as I possibly could. And that's part two, mostly. We talk about chase cuts as well. We talk about some other radio stuff. But it gets really into the tech stuff. So that is going to be part two. It's a much longer part than you're ever used to in the past. Just be aware of that. So what you might want to know is that part one will be sort of the setup. We're going to do background, and we get into chase cuts a bit. Some of the industry stuff as well, but mostly it's about Eric and what he's been doing with his life. Part three, I will start it off with the major contest announcement and any other announcements I have, especially thanking the sponsors that I have. The contest is going to be much bigger, I think, than last year. Hopefully, we have lots of entries. So I made it simpler, much simpler to get involved. And like I said, more bountiful. There's going to be a lot more prizes involved. So anyway, that will be part three right at the beginning, and then I will close out part three with the finish of the Eric Chase interview. So yes, a three-parter. Other things I got to mention right here. I already told you to tune into part three. Part two is really long. I said that, I think. It's techie, right? I will apologize. I think some people, if not everybody, got the email I sent out for the Eric Chase announcement many times. It was not my fault. That was a Gmail server issue. But a couple people made it known to me. They're like, hey, man, really excited that you're going to be interviewing Eric Chase, but you don't need to tell me six times. One email is good. Yet, with me, one email is always good. I will never send out the same email more than once, but I do apologize that that happened. It would just know that it was out of my control. And I didn't send an apology email because I thought, well, of course, if I do that, that email will get sent 50 times. And then I look like an even bigger jackass. So anyway, just want to make sure people knew that I wouldn't do that. I do apologize that it happened, though. We're going to kick things off here with a Chase Cuts very recent demo that I chopped up. The full Chase Cuts sampler, which has a lot of, I mean, just when you think radio has done everything and you can't make new sounds, you're just sort of repeating what's already been done, forget it. It's just crazy what they do over there at Chase Cuts. Some of the creativity and the musical stuff they do. Anyway, the full demo's on my website. I believe actually the full demo is not even at Chase Cuts. What I have on my website is a sampler that you can only hear on my website. So anyway, this we will kick off with the Chase Cuts mini sampler exclusive to the Ryan on the Radio podcast, and then Eric Chase.
Because I'm a psychopath.
No! I don't like it. I don't trust you. I don't love you. I don't want you. And I will. You have one more chance. Because I deserve it.
Way more music, commercial free hits, cooler music, newer music.
Your attention, please. The hits now continue. Commercial free, commercial. Listen, would you please
stop blowing those stupid horns?
Thank you.
You ready? Sunscreen on. Inhibitions off. Welcome to the summer.
Hello.
Hello.
Shalom.
Bonjour.
Hello. Konnichiwa.
What's up, world?
Good songs.
Day long.
It's number one.
Most awesome thing ever.
This
This is one of the coolest stations in the world.
There he is, Eric Chase. Eric, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast in the 2-year anniversary.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Now, I actually started off there with, I figured the best sample of what you're kind of doing now is the Chase Cut stuff. But you do a whole lot. I'm gonna talk about your day-to-day stuff a little bit later, and I want to let you know that I predicted I'd have the most listener-submitted questions for you, and I did. So some of them deal with that stuff. So we'll be going through a lot of those.
There are three.
There were more than three, actually. There were,
really? Well, yeah, that is impressive.
I was going to say there are actually three from the country of New Zealand alone, but I believe I just have two from that nation and a couple others from Australia.
Oh, great.
I actually do have more submitted questions from outside the U.S. than, you know, so international questions. So just in case you didn't know, people know of you around the world, and you're internationally known as one of the top producers. So that'll be my gushing for the interview.
I heard your I heard your interview with Jeff Thomas. He's a buddy of mine, lives in Sydney.
Yeah,
And we kind of go way back, and I miss having Jeff around. I haven't seen him in years.
I bet. Did you think I did him justice in that interview?
Oh yeah, yeah. I found it fascinating.
Good. Well, again, I actually have literally three pages of notes here that I may or may not get to throughout this interview today, but let's start background. We were actually talking before we started the interview a little bit about how you got started, but tell us all how you actually got started, and it might be a bit of a surprise to some people.
To go back to like... I was in college. I went to the University of Missouri, Mizzou, and for advertising. And before that, I was in bands and stuff. And after I graduated, that summer I had a hard time finding a job in advertising. So I went on the road with a band. So it's like 10 years later, I'm still doing bands and stuff. So, I was actually on the road kind of full time for about 8 years or so.
And when you say on the road with a band, what exactly were you doing?
Well, I'm a guitar player, and then I started playing, I've picked up everything else along the way, like keyboard, drums, bass. And I was generally, guitar player and vocalist.
Cool.
In various bands. I did all kinds of different little circuits.
Yeah.
And so that kind of gave me that's why I have such a weird background. Before that, I come from a musical background, and I always hated radio growing up because the DJs always stepped on the intros of my favorite songs and stuff.
Yeah.
I never thought I'd be in radio, but... After college, I went on the road, and then after the road got really old, I kind of settled down in Florida, in Destin, and was playing in house bands and stuff around that area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I met my future wife, and then we ended up going back to where she's from, Cincinnati, and I fell backwards into this radio gig at WEBN that happened to be Joel Moss's assistant. So if it wasn't for that gig, that was a J-Core station at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
would this have been about 95-ish or something? 94?
90, maybe 93.
Just based on some of the WEBN stuff you sent me.
Yeah, 92 or 93, I guess.
Yeah.
And then actually a guy named Tom Owens is the man who hired me. He was the PD, and he's now, a senior vice president in the Clear Channel world. So all the people I came up with eventually kind of became, I was in the right place at the right time with the, EBN was a great place to be. And Joel Moss became my production mentor. I didn't even know this radio, you know, imaging world existed before that.
Mm-hmm.
So he was the like the imaging guy, and I took care of spots generally. And then it started crossing over as the, you know, clusters started getting more stations, having more formats to deal with. And then when the the gig, a couple of years later, when the gig came open in Florida, it was Brian James was in the creative services director of WFLA and WFLZ,
mm-hmm.
the news talk and the CHR. He was doing that and voicing a lot of stuff at the time. So, and doing a talk show on the AM. So he wanted to lose the creative services duty. So I jumped at that chance and came down and, you know, started the FLZ gig about the time that FLZ was kind of switching formats, and it was kind of a time when Clear Channel started growing very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and so I just kind of caught that. I was there at the right time in the right spot and at the right stations, the right people.
This would have been probably just after 96, somewhere.
Yeah, 95. It might have been 95 that I came down here.
Okay.
And I've been here ever since. Now I work out of my house, of course, but and it's taken me it's taken me years to kind of build up this pile of equipment into a real studio.
Yeah, actually, I was going to ask you about that. I wanted to get into more of a tech session a little later. but yeah, you started when you went to FLZ or when you went to Tampa. You're obviously working in-house, you know, brick-and-mortar station, but is that about when you actually started building your own studio as well?
Well, actually, that's probably about the time it was early on when I switched to Pro Tools. I guess it was back sometime in the 90s, sometime mm-hmm. in the late 90s, I assume. I bought a system for home, too. And so that was the genesis of my, you know, home studio. So, but as you find out when you get a home studio, it's way more than just having the workstation, you know?
Yeah.
It's having all the resources and everything. So it's taken me this many years to actually get to the point where I now have a quiet environment, nice gear,
mm-hmm.
and, about everything I could ask for. Of course, that means I pay for it myself, you know, because I'll never get CapEx through on stuff like nice preamps or anything, you know.
Right, right. So you went to Tampa, you're doing, one of the monster CHRs, or at least what you created as one of the monster CHR sounds. You're also doing news talk. What other formats were you into by that point? And, you know, I guess by that point, how many different formats of radio imaging had you done or were you doing?
Well, I mean, my first imaging gig was really the FLZ gig. So I hadn't been doing it. I only been doing it a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have I had a music background and a recording background. So I was able to jump in and on the technical level. And make everything sound good, and I find that pretty rare in radio that there are imaging guys that know anything about audio, or know a lot about audio these days. Don't really need to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, there's less emphasis on it, and there's no training ground anymore, and I know a lot of factors, but it's a sad state of affairs, I'm afraid.
Talk about other mentors or I mean, okay, I think most of us would agree there's a very lacking area of training ground in today's radio world, and I think that's on all sides of the fence, you know, talent on the air, production, even sales. But at that time, was there a pretty good way for you to get mentored or to get trained or to find resources to make yourself better?
At that time, yeah. I mean, it was awesome. It was a great – I remember EBN as just like the greatest time, even though I was making like 16 grand or something. You know, it was like there was all these very creative people. And at that time, like everybody there, it was like Tom Owens was this like brilliant mind. He's twisted. He's brilliant and he's twisted. And so at the helm of this sort of heritage rocker in Cincinnati, everything took on this sort of weird intellectual slant. And all the people on staff were like really good writers and very funny and talented and everything. So it was a really, really good environment. I mean, I still look back on those days. It's like, wow, we had such a great time.
Hmm. When you went to so basically FLZ, as you just said, was kind of your first real imaging gig. What was the change in the, I don't know, amount of talent that was there, you know, the creativity that was there just from the EBN days to FLZ?
It was just night and day. It was like, I was driving into town listening to a break, and I was hearing these spots that would like, oh my God, these horrific, you know, horrific spots that would never even be able to get on the air in Cincinnati where we were.
Mm-hmm.
Just one after the other down here. So I was kind of appalled that the lack of, that's why, you know, that's kind of why I was able to become, you know, so, I was able to rise through the ranks so quickly with the Clear Channel world, because there weren't, down here in Tampa, they weren't used to, you know, this sort of attention to detail. I'm real anal when it comes to, you know, details and stuff, small level things. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, digital lets me, you know, indulge that thing to ridiculous.
I was going to say, you started out probably on reels, lots of reels and cutting tape and whatnot.
Yeah, just at there was a period of about a year or two of like four track or 8-track tape. And then I went to like a digital, early digital thing, which for me was the Yamaha DM80.
I thought you were going to say the Odyssey, because it's either one or the other, it seems like.
Yeah, which had the Mac front end. So it was like I started getting used to the software version of it. But eventually that gave way to Pro Tools when Pro Tools became more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been with Pro Tools ever since. And now I'm stuck with it because I've got just so much invested in it in terms of. You know, piles of shortcuts and my hands and brain would have a meltdown if I wasn't using Pro Tools, because it's just so ingrained now.
That actually, let me ask two things about that. I'll go way more into, because people love to hear about the tech stuff, so I'll do a lot more of that later. But you've now been working on Pro Tools for 15-ish years. How large is your backup? I mean, do you have terabytes of backup now, or how's that going for you?
Well, recently I've finally, it's like just to this point. I mean, I've been working from home since 2004, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just at this point where this year, I finally kind of got my backup situation squared away, even though I don't have it sort of automated or anything. But I've got a bunch of LaCie drives, these LaCie 1 gigabyte and 2 gigabyte drives that are like a half rack space, and you can get these rack ears for them. And so I've gotten a bunch of those. So my backups can I got new Macs, and my the new Macs have 4 internal drives as well,
mm-hmm.
One terabyte each. So I can do all my day-to-day audio and video stuff on the internals, and then just have the external firewires for backups.
Mm-hmm. And then you say you've been on Pro Tools now again for a real long time. Have you ever attempted to use any other DAWs? Have you maybe tried them out at least, anything like that?
Yeah, I've played with, I've dabbled in a few. I played with Logic a little bit, which is really good for music. I'm trying to learn it. I have it on my, I kind of got a video Mac and an audio Mac now, and I configured a little differently. Instead of, I used to have a PC to kind of do my, you know, some, at the time I was using Acid sometimes on the PC and a few other things. But I've just recently retired the PC in favor of another Mac that is kind of dedicated to video.
Mm-hmm.
That Mac is a little bit different. and the Audio Mac. Pro Tools lives on the Audio Mac, and the Video Mac has Logic and the Final Cut World.
I was actually going to say, have you ever used Pro Tools for video editing?
Yeah, actually, I love editing video. I wish I could edit, you know, full res, you know, HD in there without it hiccuping.
Mm-hmm.
It'll only do, you know, certain. Of course, I don't know. I haven't tried it on this new system, so it might surprise me. But I love being able to edit video like you can edit audio.
Yeah,
you know, to the point where you're doing the copies and the duplicates and all the same little things. The only thing you can't do is, you know, layer things and put plugins and stuff on there.
It seemed like one of the things I've heard about most video folk, and now you being both, but is their video software is usually very limited on the audio side.
Yeah,
so, you know, video.
Yeah, I don't
people.
Like that about all of them.
Yeah.
Except, you know, what I understand, you know, and if I was doing it on the PC, I'd definitely be using Vegas, because Vegas Pro, I think, the recent versions. They really seem to do it right with video and audio.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And so that'd be a great system to have. Right now, I have side-by-side systems, so I can have like the poor man's sync, where I do, I could do a 5.1 mix in Pro Tools and just hit two space bars at once and, you know, have it relatively synced up with Final Cut.
Really? So to shift a little bit, for the purposes of, I think, my audience in this interview, you're very well known as the kind of ultimate CHR radio imaging producer, but I know you're into a lot of other things, and as you've already said many times, you know, you're a music guy. Your day-to-day life right now, how much of it, obviously you're putting quite a bit of time into Chase Cuts, but how much of it is actually imaging radio and then doing other things, video, music production, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, it's still mostly radio. You know, I just work in other things around that. I do a little bit of VO stuff, which, you know, there's VO stuff involved in Chase Cuts. Mm-hmm. So there's always some VO happening, you know, on that side, some custom stuff for Chase Cut stations. And there's a couple of TV things that I have kept around just because it's reasonably lucrative. So,
as far as voiceover TV jobs?
Yeah, voiceover stuff. Yeah. I don't enjoy doing voiceover. But,
really?
But it feel like, well, I might as well have as many skills as possible, you know?
So you don't actively seek out voice-only type work? Would that be a true statement?
Yeah.
And you don't enjoy it. Why don't you enjoy it?
I don't know. Well, I'm no good at it. I just feel like... I don't enjoy doing it. I don't like using my own voice and stuff. I tend to, you know, want to use anybody else's voice. I'll use my own voice. I like my voice as a secondary voice.
Like an accent type voice.
Yeah,
think it's awesome.
I used
to have Chase for a long time, not in a while, but it was a great secondary voice to have access to.
I feel lucky that I was, you know, imaging, kind of in the imaging heyday, because, you know, that time is going away. And at FLZ, we had access to all these great voices. So it was like, you know, I'd write some stuff for Sandy Thomas. I got Kate West. I got Corley. And then me put in the cracks. It was like, yeah, I got a nice stable. Now you can never have four, you know, I think we had four paid voices on the payroll at one time on that one station.
Real quick on that note, if you're launching a new station today, it might depend on format, but are you of the opinion that it's going to be, at least most of the time, better to have multiple voices on your station for the brand, or is it better to stick to one solid voice to brand your station?
Well, you know, I can see it kind of both ways, but I do like having some kind of thread of consistency.
Yeah.
It's not, if you have a really good distinctive voice that fits, I'd say, yeah, use that as an anchor and then work other stuff around it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, a lot of times that thing that's sort of distinctive or, You know, you don't necessarily want that reading, 40 seconds of copy or anything.
Yeah.
It's nice to have, that's why I liked having, various voices, because then you could have their role, Corley had the big voice closing thing, and then you could do, little bits with Kate. Yeah, it was so nice having those multiple voices, because then you could segment them and sort of create this, this sort of balance that feels right. That to me, it's like every station is always a different balance of voices that feels right. Certain stations, like they depend on that anchor voice,
yeah,
to basically do everything. So. Well, I can see it both ways. It just depends on the situation. For me, I like having a lot of voices, or at least a lot of apparent voices. Mm-hmm. And I do like using, real people audio when it's good.
Yeah.
It's just hard to get good real person audio.
Yeah. Actually, I keep wanting to move on, but you keep bringing up things I want to talk about. Do you have any tips or tricks? I'm sure at some point you've been out there or you've collected the real people audio when it might actually be the sales chick or promotions girl. Do you have any tips on how to make that good?
Well, it's tough, man.
I think it's really tough.
I tell you what, it's one of the rare skills. It's hard to run across somebody who's naturally good at that.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's why there's so little really natural stuff out there and a lot of just stilted crap, people reading off the page. That's the problem. It's just like, okay, rule number one, don't make them read anything. Rule number two, don't make them say anything that isn't natural.
Exactly.
And the best thing you can do is to set up think of the kind of responses you would like and don't, get away from the catchphrases and stuff and just see if you can engage them in some kind of natural banter. And then if it goes well, get them talking about something they feel really, strongly about. And then that makes it easy to extract those little things if you can get them to go on about something that they're hyped about. That would be the best suggestion I could have is like, use psychology to, it could be anything. You just like have a list of guiding questions that you might use to guide them into a certain, response.
Yeah. Yeah. Very leading questions. Yeah, you're right. Because you can't hand them a piece of paper and say this naturally, but read it.
And take stuff out of context. And, so it's as bad as it is to say, but that's the way you're going to get natural stuff. That's somebody was bringing it up. Dave Savage at CSG was bringing it up recently. You see a lot up on TV. You see a lot of you can put up text of people texting in and people little conversations going on in real time,
mm-hmm.
comments and stuff happening. And that whole, that whole texting Facebook world is such a gold mine of stuff for the visual, media.
Yeah.
But we haven't found a way to tap into that as much. It's like it seems really hard to get that to translate into something that isn't lame or cheesy or fake or something.
Contrived.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, contrived. It comes across either stupid or contrived or something. So, still looking for that natural way to get some of that stuff across. Somebody needs to discover it. And I tell you what, I've been looking for somebody to go out and give me regular audio, and I'm still looking.
You mean
regular street audio,
listener type audio?
Yeah, regular listener yeah. audio, because
yeah.
there's just nobody out there who, because you got to worry about the technical end of it. You don't want it, half the time they'll come back with distorted stuff, or there'll be music in the background, or
right.
A million different things.
Yeah,
so it's
that's the worst part is the biggest events or the biggest, the places with the most amount of your listeners usually are in very loud scenes,
And you don't even notice until you get it back in the studio, and it's like, oh crap, I don't remember that being there. It's like, it's like that's totally unusable.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you spend way too much time trying to actually remove the noise, and it ultimately just becomes an even bigger waste of time. Yeah.
Now the best luck I've had recently is came from Rachel McGrath up in Atlanta, who's an amazing producer, and she her VO is awesome too. But she's gotten me some of this stuff where she basically just hangs out with her friends and kind of just fires off some questions, and they kind of riff a little bit and come up with some natural stuff. That's the best stuff I've gotten recently came from Rachel.
To completely switch gears, and this potentially could be the end of part one, but talk about this question was sent in from Sean Galbraith up north in Canada. He talks about CHR Wars. Primarily his question is, how would he approach imaging in a market that has a three-station CHR war going on? And what he wants to know is essentially, how do you make yours stand out in that kind of a situation? Or how have you done this? Or how would you do this?
Well, I would approach it with great relish. I remember those days as being really fun, those attack days, those underdog days, you know. It was fun to be the it's funner to be the underdog than the king of the hill.
Yeah.
But it all depends. But that all depends on on the vision of the PD, you know, because that back in my day, it was the PD had a vision, and you know, often in conjunction with some regional corporate guy or something, or format corporate guy or whoever. But they decide on, well, here's the way we need to approach it. This station is they're old school and boisterous, and then this other competitor, they're idiots and they don't know what they're doing, and here's where we fit. It's like they have to decide that on that, you know, brain trust level. And then at that point, when you have a clear vision of what this station is, where the station fits into the mix, then you can formulate some kind of a, you know, idea of where you want to be with the imaging.
Here's another listener question. We'll go here, then I want to talk about your the whole chase cut setup. But as far as you staying creative day to day, I've had this question asked before, and I think most people have similar answers. But anyway, for you, what are the things you do to keep yourself real creative and to keep your mind kind of open and being able to produce such wide-ranging material?
Oh, not nearly enough. It's never ending. That's the thing about these service kind of things.
Yeah.
I remember Jeff Thomas talking about having to fade the beast, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the beast that never stops eating.
Yeah.
So that's the way these that's the way the services have to be, but I've just in this last year, I've gotten some help, at least on a piecemeal basis, from some freelancers.
Yeah.
And, I've gotten some amazing stuff. Like, certainly I've always gotten some stuff from Nick Daly, who's been my protege, was my assistant at FLZ. And now he's out on his own doing Glenn Beck as far as the day-to-day production, and also doing a lot of voiceover stuff. And
yeah.
And
ex-guest of the producer's podcast as well.
Nick is just doing some amazing stuff, and he's young. And he's doing some stuff, and then there's Miles in Cleveland occasionally contributes, this guy Dylan Paul, BMAC in Miami. Who else? That might be it on a regular basis. No, this guy's sketch in L.A. occasionally, too. But I'm getting a little bit more help nowadays, though, I'm picking up the pace as far as, you know, the amount of stuff on Chase Cuts as well.
Take that and talk about Chase Cuts. Now, that started, I'm really just kind of curious, because when most of the time when people mention the sort of CHR service, Chase is darn near the top. You know, I'm not going to make any broad statements, but, or maybe I am making just a broad statement, but from the beginning to now, how did that kind of go? Did you just start making some stuff, or did you start sort of big?
Well, you know, that's one of those things. Being part of Clear Channel does have its advantages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Clear Channel, as horrible as they've been for a lot of people in radio, they've been good to a few of us. And, you know, so there's some of us that have benefited from this whole consolidation thing. Because that's how I ended up, you know, like it or not, that's how I ended up doing all these formats. It's like everything they, you know, threw at me, I would like just do and move on, and so like they just kept throwing more stuff at me. So you know how that is when you're working for the large company.
Yeah.
And of course, in the process, you become this sort of star in your little world of corporate production, or whatever you want to call it.
The producers